Sunday. Christian greeting to each of you. It's a blessing to see the house so well filled. I didn't realize until I sat up front here how many people were here. When I walked in this morning, it was quite empty yet, and I, for some reason, thought that maybe that's a little bit the case. But I'm glad to see each of you, and I see there's even some visiting ministers floating around here. Had I known that, why, maybe I would have made an attempt to share some responsibility this morning. But we're glad for the presence of each one, and God bless you for being here. If you're like I am this morning, your heart has been stirred and your soul has been renewed and drawn back to Creator God and Jesus, the one who draws us to Him, the one who loves us and craves to have a relationship with us. Appreciated the devotional meditation this morning and Sunday school time together. I'd like to just have somewhat an extension of the thoughts. I believe the last time I preached here? I'm not even sure. I'm good at losing track of time, but communion morning, I think I preached a message. The title of the message had something to do with miracles around the resurrection, I believe. Well, I gave another title on miracles this morning, and this is simply miracles in everyday life. And I like to keep our sister side of the house in mind this morning as I go through this message, being that it is a special day, Mother's Day, and certainly we are very, very thankful for godly mothers, faithful mothers. When one reads what all is happening in our world and in our society, we are so blessed to have faithful sisters on this side of the house who are taking their responsibility of being wives and mothers and raising children and taking the responsibility of teaching and admonishing and encouraging. But you know, I'm aware that that's a drain on as parents. We feel that drain. We feel that, I guess sometimes we're a little bit like Jesus was. We feel that virtue leaving us, do we not? We feel something leaving us, and it's not always replenished. And so this morning, I don't have a lot new to share, but I'd like to look at some passages in the Bible and draw some points and just some encouragement. And not just for our sisters this morning, but especially for you, but for all of us. I've tried to lay the message out in a way that from the oldest to the youngest, I trust there's some truth that can be some application you can make, and there's probably many applications you can make in your own thoughts this morning as we go through the message that I won't make. I like to use for a text, as I think about miracles in everyday life, I'd like to go to another story we find in the very next chapter to the one we studied in our Sunday school lesson. Luke chapter 9, you may open your Bibles there. And I'd like to read a very familiar account, the story of the feeding of the 5,000 people, and we often just simply focus on the miracle that happened there. There's some other truths around that I'd like to draw some parallels from and some encouragement from this morning. But in Luke chapter 9, and we'll begin reading in verse 10, it says, "And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done." This was after Jesus had sent the disciples out to preach and teach, and they were given the power to do miracles, and they were returning from this experience. We come to verse 10. "And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom and of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12, and said unto him, Send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, Give them to eat. And they said, We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said unto his disciples, Make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and were all filled, and there were taken up of the fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. We're going to cease reading there. I want you and your minds thinking this morning, your mind's journey, whatever, to put yourself in the place, in this setting. Here is Jesus, here's his disciples, and the disciples had just returned from quite a missionary journey, putting it in my own language. They were sharing with people, and I believe that they came back and they were possibly somewhat tired, and yet I believe they were maybe thrilled with everything that they had witnessed and seen and had plenty to talk about. And they were telling Jesus about this. And they, together with Jesus, had a desire to just move away from all the crowds of people and get away and just be by themselves. We see that because Jesus made that attempt with the disciples. But we see that wasn't to be. The crowds followed. Jesus was drawing people because of the things that were happening. People were excited and people were wanting to know more, and people wanted more of Jesus, and so the crowds followed. Well, the day wore on, and finally the disciples said, why don't we send these folks back home? Send them away, send them down to town, send them, they need food, and we don't have it here. We don't have what it takes to meet the needs of these 5,000 people. Just send them away. And the response of Jesus is what blesses me. Jesus said, no, let's feed them here. Well, we don't have what it takes. We have these 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but in another one of the Gospels it says, what is that among so many? Or is this sufficient? The disciples asked. There was this lack of faith that there would be. Jesus said, well, make the people sit down. But notice what Jesus did. In verse 16, it says that he, meaning Jesus, took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. This was a time when Jesus himself was in need of a miracle. And Jesus was depending on God, the Father, the one who he knew had all the resources, all the power. It was given to the disciples earlier, but they had forgot about this already. They were out healing people. They were out meeting the needs of the people. You see, all power, Jesus said, is given to me in heaven and in earth. Jesus realized that. And yet, what I want you to notice this morning is that Jesus too needed to depend on the Heavenly Father. And that blesses my heart this morning. Jesus was an example. And this miracle happened. Now, I'd like to just think about this a little bit. This so often is life for each one of us. This morning, we are in a journey. There are so many things around us that many times are out of our control. They look impossible. The mountains look so much bigger. And mothers, I believe you experience this in motherhood many times, where you feel like you just need to get away and need that quiet time, and you need that place to get away from all the pressure. And Jesus says, no, that's not the answer. I want you in the midst of all this. And so what is the answer? The power. The whole store of heaven, everything that God has, is at your disposal, at my disposal, as we face life and we see life. But you know what we so often fail to do? We so often fail to turn to Jesus or turn to the Father and request and make it known. Jesus did what Jesus did. He gave thanks. He humbly thanked God for what he had provided, and had faith that God would provide the rest, would perform a miracle. So many times we need miracles in our lives. And I'd like to tell us this morning that there are miracles working in our lives. There are miracles happening in our lives every day. But too many times we don't take notice to them, or we forget about them, or we maybe even forget to thank God for what we already have. We focus on what we don't have, and we focus on the needs, and we forget to focus on what we have. You see, Jesus took the two fishes and the five loaves. His focus, yes, he asked the Father to bless this, but then his focus was what was on what he had. He had two fishes, he had five loaves, and he took them, and in faith he started feeding people, and miraculously they reached. This morning, brethren and sisters, mothers, instead of focusing on what we don't have so often, let's focus on what we do have, and let's thank God for it. This morning, if we have a godly mother, if we have a mother who was there, who taught us, who raised us, who took care of us, who met our emotional needs, who walked the journey of life with us, who gave us encouragement, who told us at times what we needed to hear, and yeah, the list goes on, whatever. Let your mind run this morning. Thank God, because she was a mother who did the best she could with what she had. I'd just like to give us that encouragement. Let's focus on the blessings we have, the things that we have, and let's take them and make the best of it. The next time you find yourself doubting as a mother, doubting your ability as a mother, ask God to stop. Ask God to give you something that don't. Let me say it like this. The next time you find yourself doubting your ability as a mother, and you ask God to give you something you don't have, stop and ponder and look at what you do have and thank God for that, is what I want to say. Thank God for those things you do have. Now, it's not wrong, and I want to be clear this morning, it's not wrong for us to ask God. Having said that, I want us to focus on the blessings that we do have, but having said that, it's not wrong for us to ask God. In fact, Jesus told us, and let's just go back. I'd like to look at Matthew chapter 7 for a little bit this morning. Here's another teaching, and I think it's right that we look at this and we think about this as well. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 7 and verse 8, I'd like to focus on this a little bit as we think about asking. You see, Jesus did ask God. He blessed. And it doesn't tell us what all Jesus' prayer was, but I believe that Jesus did ask the Father to bless those two fish, those five loaves, and that he had the faith that they would reach. Coming back to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, Jesus simply tells us this. He says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give you things? Give good things to them that ask him." Now, let's think about these verses a little bit this morning. I said it is right, it is good. I believe in these verses, Jesus is teaching us to be persistent in pursuing, yes, Jesus and the Father. In other words, pursuing God. You see, God delights when we acknowledge our dependence on him. God already knows our needs. God already knows what you and I need to survive and He knows our wants. He knows our wish list as far as that goes. But God delights when we acknowledge our dependence on him. When we see the need of a miracle in our lives, I'm going to say, when we are at that place where we say, well, it's not sufficient, it's not enough, I don't have what it takes. God delights in those moments when we turn to him and we ask. You see, I believe in these verses, Jesus is simply teaching us that it takes faith, it takes focus, it takes a following through, it takes discipline in our life, and the other week Brother Luke brought that message and he talked about entering the kingdom of heaven, the violent take it by force. Remember that? It's that same thought. We need to put everything into it, and that's what Jesus wants us to do with our requests, with our needs. He wants us to put everything into it in pursuing him. He delights in that. That is right, and that is well, and that is good. And his promise is that he will reward. Does he reward all the requests? Does he give us everything that we ask for? It's a question you may ask, and I'd like to think about that a little bit this morning. You see, too many times we make our requests known, our needs known. Let me say this first, and we'll get into that. But too many times we give up with a few half-hearted attempts, I believe. And we conclude that God is not, we don't conclude that he's not able, but we conclude that maybe God's not interested in us. That maybe God's not interested in this. And I'd like to say this morning, it is not so God is interested. He's not interested. God is interested. But he desires to see our faith. He desires to see our energies put into it. He desires to see our focus. He wants us to pursue. God is interested in us. And let's never lose sight of that. Now, I'd like to touch on something else in these verses. Another principle Jesus, I believe, is teaching us here is that this is not a guarantee that we get anything we want by simply asking and believing. You see, God does not grant requests that, may I say, that harm us or that hurt us or that he knows is not for our good. God has our spiritual good in mind. Never forget that. God wants what is best for us. God desires for us to draw closer to him, to be more like him. His spirit speaks to us, and he draws us closer to him. And there's principles, there's perimeters that God works in. God cannot condone sin. And God will not condone things that harm us or that take away from our spiritual good that help us to grow. God does not grant requests. And I believe that's why he gave us the example of a father here. He says in verse 9, or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, which is a good thing to ask for, but a father wouldn't give his son a stone. Or if the son asks for a fish, give him a snake, is what he's saying. Because we know those things would be harmful. We know those things would not be beneficial. And then in verse 11 he says, if ye then who are evil, or you who are carnal, if you understand that much, that you wouldn't give something to your son that's harmful, how much more does your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, know that about you? He knows what's good for us, and he knows what's not good for us. And so, this morning, it's not a blank check, as it were. You know, when we read verse 7 and verse 8, we take from those verses, it sounds like everything that we ask for is all our requests are going to be given to us. That's not the case. The requests must be in harmony with the principles of God's kingdom. Can I say it like that? Does that make sense? God has a standard. God has principles that it needs to fit into. Then Jesus assures us that our efforts will be rewarded. Miracles then will happen, is what I want you to grasp this morning. When we ask within the context of God's principles, God loves to see our needs. He longs to see us ask. He likes to see that focus. He likes to see us persistent in that. And God has promised he will reward us. And so this morning, parents, mothers especially, continue to ask God for the things that you feel like you're lacking at times. And I believe that those things that come within this perimeter that God sets, or when you ask for knowledge, understanding of how to teach your children, to raise your family, wisdom, patience, strength, just the strength that you need, love, understanding for your children, for your family, for your husband. Parents, those are things that God delights in giving us. But you see, those are the things that we feel like we're lacking so many times too. Those are the things that, and we wonder how to get a hold on. They're the areas that we need miracles to happen. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God gives knowledge. He gives wisdom. He will give you more patience when you feel like you need it. He will give you more love. He will give you more understanding. He will give you more physical strength when you feel like you're at the end of the rope, as it were, and you don't know where it's going to come from. God can take the little bit, the two small fishes, the five loaves, and he can just bless it. He can multiply it. He can give it to you. Those are miracles in everyday life that happen all the time. Sisters, they're happening in your life every day. You don't think about it. Where do you, at the end of the day, when you look back and say, well, I came through that situation today, and I feel good about it. Where do you think it came from? It was a miracle of grace. It was a miracle of love. It was a miracle of God working in your life. Maybe you didn't really think about it at the moment, but when the day was over and you look back, it was a miracle. It's a miracle of everyday life. It's from an all-knowing God who has everything that we need. Keep asking. God will give you miracles. Now, the third thing I'd like to focus on a little bit this morning is, and this comes in this thought of the context of there's perimeters that God sets that we need to live within and we need to find ourselves in. And I like to say this morning that thirdly, the condition of our heart directly affects the way we parent and the way we teach our children to see God, and may I say, the world, society, people, others, people around them. I say the world because I want to bring that in focus. Yes, the condition of our heart, our own hearts, is very important because it directly affects the way we parent and the way our children finally see us, see God, and see life. Can I say it like that? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 36. There's some interesting verses here. Ezekiel 36, and I'd like to look at verse 26 and 27. We don't usually look at these verses in this context, but I thought about these verses, and I'd like to just make some application to them this morning. When it comes to parenting, and when it comes to being a mother, and when it comes to finding our way in the things that God wants us to find our way in and that we feel so limited sometimes. Ezekiel 36 and verse 27, it says, "And I will put my spirit into you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." I'm sorry, I read 27 and 28, and I actually wanted 26 and 27. Let's just back up and get verse 26. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put into you, and I will take away the stony heart out of you, your flesh out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. Now let me just paraphrase those two verses for you in a way that made an impression. It makes it that we can understand it a little better in our language today. Just paraphrasing that, we would say, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And I like that this morning. What Jesus is saying, what God is saying is that I can work a work in your heart where your ways turn into my ways, where you want to do what I want to do, where your desires come in within the perimeters that I set. May I say it? Can I say it like that? That's what he's saying. And this morning, parents, this needs to happen to us in order for us to be able to teach our children to bring their lives to the place where they come within the perimeters that God sets as well. Unless we're living within those perimeters, and unless our heart desires to be within those perimeters, and unless our families see that within us, we probably aren't going to bring our children to that place. They must see it in us. Now, having said that, we have a will. We have a way we look at life. We have a way we desire to live life. And sometimes that's different than what God wants for us. And it's different than what God's laws are. It's different than what God's decrees are sometimes. And so another way that we experience everyday miracles is when God gets a hold of our hearts and he brings our hearts within that perimeter and our desires within that perimeter, and we live within that perimeter, and our children start seeing that and they live within that perimeter, and there's miracles that are happening every day. Because, dear ones, it's only the work of God. We can't bring ourselves into that ourselves. That's the work of God. And so it's another area where God is constantly working miracles. Yes, he's working miracles in my life, in my heart. There's things that I just finally die to. And I give up because I see that God doesn't want me there. That's not what God wants for my life. And unless this is happening in your life on a, maybe not quite a daily basis, but often, it won't be happening in your children's lives. And so we need to be, part of it's, I guess, just called growing. Just becoming more like the Master. Just seeing ourselves the way God sees us. And we give up and we die and we meet God where he wants us to be. And our children observe that, and our children see, and there is miracles that are happening. There's miracles that are happening. You see, the world we live in can be a cruel place. I said that the condition of our heart directly affects the way that we parent and the way we teach our children to see God and the world. And I'd just like to bring this into focus this morning. We live in a cruel world. If you read anything about the world that we live in, it can cause us to have fear in our hearts. And as parents, I believe we need to be careful that we don't overreact to that fear. We want to shield our children from those fears, from those things that are harmful. And that is right and that is good. But may I say this morning? Protecting our children's safety it's important. It's paramount, we might say. You know what? So is protecting our own hearts. You see, with good intentions, we can actually be shielding our children so much that our own hearts can become hardened and callous to a world that is around us, because we're actually trying to shield our children from all the evil and the influence and everything that's out there in our, may I say, right, in our neighborhoods, our neighbors. And I don't want to be misunderstood this morning. That is important. We must guard our children and help them, shield them until they can, yes, till they are mature and can find their way themselves. But you know, if we're not careful, we can actually be so protective and so concerned about shielding our children that we somewhat become callous towards neighbors, callous, maybe not have the love in our heart that we should. That love can grow kind of cold, because you see, it's about us, it's about our family, it's about our children. It can actually lead to attitudes that we as parents can have in our hearts. And this is why I say protecting our children is paramount, but protecting our own hearts is very important too. We cannot allow that to happen in our lives and in our hearts to the place where we start having maybe negative attitudes or wrong attitudes towards others, community. This can even be, I think this can even happen in the church. And I'm not sure where the balance, I've struggled with this balance over the years of knowing, yeah, how much to protect your children and where the line is of finally not having even feeling right about things that God is placing you in and letting you live in. We want our children not to live in fear and be afraid of others, and to not give love until they have received love. We want our children to reach out and reach and touch the lives of others and grow up. Yes, and I'm talking about mature children now. To give love and, well, may I say it like this? To love the way God loves us, unconditionally. Not waiting until love comes our way to love someone else, but we want our children to see the condition of lost souls and the needs around them. And this can be in families, it can be in cousins, it can be brethren and sisters, it comes close home. We want to teach our children how to, may I say, to come alongside of others, mm-hmm. and serve them unselfishly. Mm-hmm. That's what life is all about. And so this morning, again, it takes miracles. But these things are happening, and these things can happen, and it's miracles when they're happening, because I'm talking about things this morning that take a lot of wisdom, take a lot of understanding, and they're beyond us how we get this all accomplished. It's only when God works miracles. Mothers, this means that our children see in us a life of unselfish service. May I say to every opportunity that comes to your doorstep, and I'm just blessed how mothers can reach out to their children and can love their children and can meet the demands of raising children and being mothers and reaching out to every other opportunity that comes to your door. That's what Proverbs talks about, the virtuous woman. And it happens. God bless you for it. It's not happening without miracles. There's miracles that are happening in everyday life. It's because that God who fed those 5,000 with those few things that he had looks at your needs and he says, well, there's needs here and I'll just give what it takes. And he does that. This too is a miracle, and it's happening every day. Fourthly, this morning, I like to, and this especially, I'm going to just, yeah. Mothers this morning, what would your life as a mother look like if you reflected the life of Jesus? Now just let me take you on a little journey again. Going back to this miracle of feeding the 5,000. It tells us, and the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them and healed all them that had need of healing. Would your children this morning be drawn to you like people were drawn to Jesus, if you could reflect the life of Jesus? Would the community be drawn to your doorsteps if you would reflect the life of Jesus? As I thought about that, I thought about sometimes in the summertime when we mow hay after dark and we have the lights on, we have this bug pressure around us, and well, it's a little like a moth being drawn to a flame. You know, a moth is just drawn to that light, to that warmth. And in the summertime, sometimes our tractor lights just get flooded out with all the insects that just fly around that. They're drawn to that light. You know, that's what the people were drawn to Jesus like. They were drawn to him. But you know, Jesus was, he was loving. He was joyful. He was peaceful. He was kind. He was good. He was faithful. He was gentle. And he was full of self-control. Now this morning, mothers, if you could live your life like Jesus, if you could just always be loving, joyful, peaceful, kind, good, gentle, have all the self-control that you need. Who wouldn't want to be around a person like that? Just think about that. You know what, this morning, mothers, outside of miracles, it's not, we're human, and we struggle. We have our own carnality to deal with. We have our own emotions. We have our own weaknesses. We are human. But you know what, this morning, I believe that it is possible to grow to be more like Jesus, and you can grow in those areas. Turn with me to John chapter 15. I'll show you this morning how I believe this is done. Outside of this, I don't think it's going to happen. But in John chapter 15 and verse 5, Jesus says this. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. I'd like to paraphrase that for you this morning. Jesus is simply saying, I am the vine, I am the source, I am life. Putting it in my own words, you are the branch. If you remain in me and I in you, in other words, if you have a constant relationship, a constant source with God and with Jesus, if you have that, if that's intact, you will bear much fruit. You will bear the gentleness and the peaceableness and the self-control and the love and the faithfulness and the kindness and what all did I mention? That your family, your community, and those around you need. You see, apart from me, it's impossible is what he's saying. Apart from me, you can do nothing. My point is this morning, mothers, you can be what God wants you to be in the home if you tap into the resources that are there for you. You see, this morning, Jesus is the key to a joyful life. In order for you to tap into a gold mine of pure joy, you must rest in him. You must rest in him. You must, by faith, claim his promises. You must rest in him. Let me give you this illustration this morning. This is not original with me, but I was trying to think of an illustration. Imagine trying to teach your child to float. You're swimming, you're in the water, and you have your child, and you'd like to teach your child to float, and you get that child to lay in your arms, and you tell them how to hold their breath and how to float, and you're here giving them support, and you're... How would you go about describing that to your child? What would you tell your child? What words would you use? You would probably be there saying, well, just lay in my arms. Just trust me. We'll teach you how to float. Just trust me. Just lay in your arms. You know what? Mothers, parents, all of us, there's so much of life that is exactly what Jesus is trying to tell us. Just lay in my arms. Just trust me. You'll float. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. Just trust me. It's just that easy, isn't it? If it only were not. Well, this morning, as a mother, as parents, as all of us, youth, young people, everyone, I don't know what you're facing in life this morning. I don't know what your struggles are. But Jesus is here and he wants to take care of them. And he just wants to say, just trust me. Just lay in my arms. Just trust me. Abide in me. I'm the source. I'm the connection. I'm life. I'm what's going to feed you. And if you're here, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You're going to bear fruit. You're going to be able to live a joyful life. You're going to be able to let go of all the anxieties, the anxiousness in life. Relax. Trust me. It's a lesson that we all must learn, can learn. You know, so often the opposite is true. So often, instead of trusting, God is speaking to us through His Spirit and is saying, this is where I want you to go. This is the way I want you to walk. Follow me. And we start resisting. We start fighting. We start kicking against the pricks, as it were. No, Lord, that's not where I want to go. We resist Him. That's not what He wants. He wants us to fully rely on Him. Instead of trying, and here again, mothers, this morning, I wrote this in my notes. Instead of trying to be the best mother on planet Earth, rest in Him. Let Him. Start allowing Him to do it for you. Can I say it like that? You're going to make mistakes. You're going to run out of energy. You're not always going to know the answer to it, the dilemma that you find yourself in life, whatever that may be. You see, that's how Jesus works miracles in everyday life. It's when you let go and you let Jesus that He works a miracle. When we fight against the system, and when we, because of our pride and because of our desire to stand out above everybody else, if you please, or try to be the best, we must let go and we must acknowledge that really we're weak. And without You, Jesus, we can do nothing. And it's when you get to that place and when you just simply let go and decide to let Jesus, that He will work the miracles. And I believe that many, many mothers who are worthy of praise are mothers that simply do that. Let go and allow God. This is when miracles happen. Number five, one more point and then I'll bring this to a close. I'd like to say this, yet it's hooked right onto what I just said about trying to be the best. You see, we live in a performance-driven world. Mothers, as you go about your day and feel the pressure to perform within the realms of what you think others expect of you, it might be the pressure of your circle of friends. Remind yourself that God accepts you for who you are, for your ability, for what He has given you. He's not expecting you to perform, to be in competition with the world around you. That's not what God is expecting. He's not expecting you to do things because of peer pressure. Do the best that you know God wants you to do where you are, within the home, within the plan, within the family, within the realms of what God has given you. It comes back to my thought of not focusing on everything that's out there, but focusing on what I have and perform with what you have. You see, our world is a performance-driven world. Everything's about competition. It's about who can achieve, who can come out in the top. And I believe this morning that mothers are tempted with that sometimes too. I believe there's something within each of you that, and Yes, you want to be the best. That's right. But don't let that drive you to the place where it drives you funny, if I may say it that way. That's not what God wants. Remember that God loves you the way you are. God gave you the abilities that you have in your family. When you fail to get everything done that you feel like you should do, and then you feel like you don't measure up because you didn't get it all done, remind yourself that you're still measuring up to God. God still loves you regardless of your performance. Just turn with me to Titus. I'd just like to give you a verse that kind of backs these thoughts up a little bit. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4 and 5. And I'm going to close with this morning. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward all men appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and renewing, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's the mercy and love of God. It tells us that appeared to every mother, every father, every home, every one of us. And it's not by the works, he says, of righteousness here, but which we have done. And I like to just bring that down into the home. It's not by the things that you get accomplished and the performance that you have, even though you live in a performance-driven world. It's because of what God has done and God has wrought and what God has given you. And God wants you to work with what you have, and he will bless it. God bless you, mothers, especially today and in the days to come, and parents, families, as we strive to live within the perimeters that God has set. Remember that God is working miracles in your life every day. We don't always see him. If someone asks you, is God working miracles? Yes, God is working miracles, because there's things happening in my life and in my family and in my experience that I can't really explain to you how it happened, but it happened. Dear ones, it's because God is working miracles. Let's kneel for prayer.